Welcome back, everybody, to another Monday night. I'm going to welcome our guests up real quick, Stacy and Elijah Tafal. Y'all can go ahead and start working your way up to the front. They're going to be joining me tonight. I don't know why I keep saying today. They're going to be joining us, and we're just going to have a conversation about marriage. And we've been walking through this Tinder series the first few weeks of school. We took a week off last week, but this is our final one. And so we've done singleness. We've done dating, and now we're covering marriage. And so the upper echelon now, the Mona Lisa. Stacy and Elijah have been, Stacy came on staff at Fellowship in December, so almost a year now. She is our pastor of spiritual formation and community. Is that the official title? I never know at Fellowship. They change them up all the time, just everything. And then Elijah, he is the dean, a dean at Paideia Christian Academy. Is that okay? I'm getting it right. See, guys, you can tell I practiced this. I'm about to say you are going to need those. And he's served in various roles in ministry throughout their marriage and life as well. And so they can explain a little bit more about themselves, whatever y'all feel like is necessary to continue to help them know y'all a little bit more.
Oh, right now.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah, pastor of spiritual formation and community, which means that my heart is to see people look more like Jesus. So if that's your heart, then we'll probably be hanging out together at some point. We've been married 17 years. Yes. and I really like this guy. So marriage is a great thing, if it's the right person. Yeah, we'll talk more about that later. Yeah, if it's Elijah, he's easy. He's probably like, it's been a long 17 years.
No.
Yeah, I was like, that's when you are, that's a good rebuttal.
it has been a wonderful journey, and we would do it all over again 1,000 times. And it's thank you for having us with you guys, and our desire is that God would speak and that he would use us to encourage you and to bless you.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I would love just to hear quickly, before we jump into some of our questions, just because I'm dying to know, but how'd y'all meet? Like, how'd this happen? How did the Tafals become a thing? What, however y'all want to share that in a few minutes.
Yeah. We always laugh because when we were in seminary, somebody asked us, like, how did you guys get to know each other? And I made up this extravagant lie. Like, I was dancing at a club in Morocco, like something that was super outlandish, but they believed it. And they asked us to give our testimony, and I was like, wait, that was just a joke. Like, we did not meet that way. But I was working at the seminary, helping direct the work of the School of Intercultural Studies, and I was doing orientation, and Lige came through orientation. He had been living in American Samoa, which is where his family is from, and teaching there after he graduated from university. So he came to the seminary, and I was doing orientation, and I was like, well, hello there. But a lot of other girls were like, well, hello there. And so I thought, I'm just going to sit this one out. But I went to church the following Sunday, to my church, which was First Baptist San Francisco. And I was worshiping, and out of the corner of my eye, you know, like, girls have really great peripheral vision. Guys, y'all should know that, because we can see a lot of things. But I saw somebody sort of jumping in the balcony, and I turned, and it was Elijah. And there was just something about the way that he worshiped God that had me. Like, we read about David worshiping God and the way that, you know, his wife kind of came against that. And he was like, oh, I'll get even more undignified than this. Like, trust me. And Elijah had just this way of worshiping and knowing God. And he was just so abandoned to the Lord. And I thought, that's a really attractive look. That's a really attractive thing. Somebody who's just so sold out. So that was the first time I think we met each other. Mm-hmm. But it would be months. Like, a year would go by before we even started dating. And then when we started, it took off pretty fast after that. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And part of it is we were further along in age, further along than you guys, at least.
But we didn't get married till we were 30, so everybody can exhale. Yeah. It can still happen.
I think that's a good thing. I always forget that in the South it happens quicker. Like, she has an aunt that got married at 16 and had to get parents' permission. But the waiting was, neither of us thought we would get married. We both went to grad school not looking for a significant other. We went to grad school just following what we felt like the Lord was calling us to do. And that is always the right place to be. Yeah. Always the right place to be.
Yeah. And there's a reason why we picked the Tefals. Of course, they've been married for 17 years. They have some wisdom to give us. But then also these two, they really do. They love Jesus, but in a way that's contagious. And only working with Stacy for the last 8 months or so, I've seen it in her. And she's taught here for College Life before at our grounded retreat in the spring. But there's just something that they offer in Jesus that I want you all to see. And that's why I'm really excited for them to be leading us in this time. And so the first question is, we've been kind of doing this series, breaking it up into really three ways for each question. But we really just want to think about, man, when we think of the value and role of marriage in our modern culture, how would you define it? Like, how would you see the modern world? You can put inside and outside the church. Mm-hmm. Like, how would you say they value or define it?
Mm-hmm. We talked about this a little bit, and I think right now marriage is, you could take it or you could leave it. There's so little substance beyond the initial romance and the attraction and the physical aspect of marriage, but it takes a long time for two people to become one, and I think that's why we see the quality of marriages that we have. That's why we see the abuse, really, of what marriage is, and I don't know that it's very different. I'm not saying here at Fellowship, but I don't know that it's very different inside the church as it is outside the church. We probably will get to it at some point, but you know, you can use someone in marriage as easily as you can use someone in singleness. And you can sin against your spouse in marriage as easily as you could sin against someone else as a single person. And so there's...
Do you know what that means? Like, do you get a sense of that? Like, you can use somebody to prop you up. And so, whereas marriage is meant to be a sacrament of the church, right? It's the way that people see, and we'll talk about that in a little bit later, but it's the way that people have the opportunity to see God. But if you take something in the intention, and in that way, it is rad. It is one of the most incredible adventures that you'll ever go on, if that's what God calls you to. But if you use it to prop yourself up, like, oh my gosh, like, Ethan's gonna make me look amazing, you know, because I'm hanging out with him. Or if you want Ethan to say something about you or validate you, like, I'm more valuable because I'm in a relationship, then that's not good. You're just using somebody. There's nothing loving about that. There's nothing serving. Marriage in and of itself is like the most amazing opportunity. Yeah, this is Ethan.
I was wondering, who's Ethan?
I'm like, Ethan's on the front row, you know. But there's a way that we can use something in a way other than what it's intended for. And then that's never a good thing. It never ends well.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And I think you framed it up really well, because I don't really think there is that big of a difference inside and out. I can see people viewing marriage in a certain way, or this take it or leave it mentality, because you can get whatever. Now the culture is so set up in a way where I can get what I think I'm supposed to get in marriage and singleness, in playing the field or whatever it is. But I would love to ask the next question of just, what are some misconceptions that you can see people having in how they view marriage, maybe what they think it's about, or however you want to take that, just some misconceptions.
Yes, sir.
One misconception, I'll just go straight to this, that marriage is going to solve my problem. marriages, if you struggle with lust and pornography, then marriage is going to fix that. And that is not the case. Whatever you bring into the marriage, it's there. Now two people have to suffer the consequence of it. Now two people have to work through the damage that all sin causes. And that surprised me. A bad surprise. I just thought, I'm done. It's smooth sailing after this. But there's something better. It's the classic two are better than one. But it requires sharing that with the other person. And that is truly scary. And if you mess up once, that's cool. Sorry, my bad. You mess up twice, three times, five times, 10 times, then you're tempted to just like take that stuff underground. Because I know for me, I was so tired of being the loser. This thing again. This issue again, this problem again, and you could put any label on that, whatever it is, and it just is going to keep coming up. You know, Martin Luther, the reformer, he was a monk, and so the big idea of reforming the church was, we're going to get all these monks married, we're going to get all these nuns married, and so he married off all the nuns that he like busted them out of the nunnery, and then
just imagine that.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And he got them all married off except one, and she said, I'm not gonna marry anybody but you. And he was like, I got work to do, I can't be chained to you. And sure enough, Catherine von Bora was the love of his life. But what he says of marriage, he says it is the deepest, strongest, hardest form of discipleship he will ever encounter. And this was a man of God, a lead reformer, who 500 years later we're still talking about him. But Katie von Bora, she was his rock. But can you imagine what they had to work through?
So it doesn't, like, that's a big misconception, is that it solves your problems. And I don't know if you caught that, but in what Elijah shared, but just so you guys know, we emailed Brian last night or early this morning. I was like, let's have a time of Q&R, because we actually don't know how to not kind of go deep. And so if you guys are sitting out there and you're like, oh my gosh, I think we've got a question that's coming up, or like you said this, that's really okay. We're so fine to talk about that. But it doesn't solve all your problems. And so if you're a guy or a girl who struggles with pornography or lust, and you bring that into a marriage, then it doesn't, I love how you said it just doesn't magically disappear. But I will say the other side of that, and you'll get to this question later on, is that there's a way that we all, in marriage and in friendship, marriage is not a promised land, which is another misconception, we all get to participate in one another's redemption. There is, you know, there's a saying that we're all just kind of walking each other home. And there's a way that in marriage that you get to like, hey, you're broken, and hey, me, I'm broken. There's a time right after we got married, we moved to Tunisia, to live with our research team, like 2 weeks after we got married. So we went on a honeymoon, came back packed. It was like the worst choice ever. Like, hey, let's move to an Arab country. And it was a really kind of hard season, but it forced some really sweet things in us. But I remember one night we were walking to meet some of our Tunisian friends in, you know, this little area called Sidi Bou Said, and we were walking to take the train to take a boat to Sidi, right? And as we're walking, we just kind of were musing out loud, and I said, I wonder if the struggles that are in our personal lives are the things that help us know Jesus better. And I wonder if we're, because these problems didn't just disappear when we got married, I wonder if they're actually, like, I get to, you get to see how your stuff wounds me, and it puts a face on it, and you're actually a little bit more able to deal with it that way. Like, if my sin is just wounding me, right? If I ask for a show of hands, like, who has a personal and deep-seated sin in your life? You know, like, everybody's, I'm not raising my hand for that, but we all have it. So let's just bust it out into the light. So we all have something. And then if I see how my sin, my pet sin, hurts Elijah, and he sees how his hurts me, then there's a lot more of an imperative to be like, yeah, I've got to square with this thing. And so there's a sweetness too in saying, like, all right, here's your struggle. When we were first married, we had this thing where we would just call stuff out into the light. And so if he's working on his research paper, and, you know, both of us were doing a lot of research, and so we're online all the time. And so we just started in our early on in our marriage saying, call something into the light. And so he would say out loud, hey, I'm working on the computer in here in the living room, and I'm really tempted to log on and look at something I shouldn't look at, right? And that might be too honest for you, but this is the world we live in. It's a world at war. And there's something about just pulling something into the light that it becomes light, right? And I don't know how it happens, but the scriptures tell us that. And there's just a sweet way that I think in marriage, in relationship with anybody, right? That you are sort of in a covenantal relationship that has a different aspect, but you can do this with friends too, that something changes and you're not bearing something on your own, like we're shouldering it together. And I think that's a sweet thing. But it is not, don't think of marriage as a promised land. I always say to women, to men, like, if you want to get married, but it's not happening, my advice is get a passport. Because I got to live all over the world, and I had a really sweet life. And I was not just sitting around, like, knitting. Knitting's great if you knit, right? But I wasn't just sitting around doing nothing. There's something, I really was sort of radically believing, like, God, if this is what you want for me, that you'll do it. Like, you'll put it together no matter where I am. Like, you know where I live, you know, that sort of thing. And he did. And so get a passport, seriously, and live your life and have these amazing experiences. Like, I've ridden on a motorcycle through the streets of Kathmandu in Nepal, right? Side saddle behind, like, some crazy Nepalese man. But I was like, I'm going to tell somebody about this when I'm going to tell my grandkids about these stories, like, ridden camels in the desert, you know, or whatever. But live your life, like, live it so much to the full, so that you're never, like, sitting around. And I think sometimes we just sit around and we're like, when it happens, then I'll start living. Like, start living yesterday, for real.
I think that's good. And I love how y'all framed it. It's not a promised land. And it's not a, it's going to fix everything in me. It's actually going to reveal more. Mm-hmm. It's going to bring more to light. As Rick always says, it's actually a call to die when you get married, because everything about you is going to get revealed. And you're going to have to deal with it. And I think that's why we see the discipleship aspect of when you're calling sin out, and you have the motivation, obviously, of the gospel, but even the motivation of, man, I love my wife or my husband, I want to honor Jesus. No wonder what that does in you. And I think, I even love how you highlighted Martin's wife. A lot of people don't talk about his wife, even though she played a significant role in the
Reformation. And she made beer.
Yeah, what a stud.
Another really good hobby.
Yeah, or even Charles Spurgeon's wife, Suzanne. Like, incredible woman who played a key role in his ministry. And so, so again, I think just wanted to lay out some of these misconceptions as we move into the last question before we move into Q&A of, it's the beauty of marriage, or what does it cost? What is the value? What is the role? As y'all begin to think through those things and share it however you want to share it. So,
I wrote it down so that I could remember it, but I think one of the most beautiful parts of marriage, one of my dear friends, Lisa, so I had just this... We had this amazing tribe of friends in San Francisco, and a lot of us were single. Well, we were single until we were 30. We had other friends who were single until they were in their mid-50s. And then I officiated two weddings of girlfriends who got married for the first time in their mid-50s.
Not to each other.
Not to each other. Let's be very clear about that. Yeah, their first marriages, two men, you know, like two other folks, right? But we just always knew it would happen. We just knew it was, like, because they had that desire, we were like, yeah, this is going to happen. We just don't know the timing of it. And it just so happened that it happened for both of them when they were in their mid-50s. And for my friend Lisa, like, when you talk about the beauty of something, oh gosh, that's more the purpose. Can I answer the purpose one? So the purpose, in the Book of Common Prayer, Just such a lovely volume. But in the Book of Common Prayer, when they talk about marriage, they say this line, and I used it in Lisa's. It says, "Make our life together a sign to this broken and sinful world, that unity may overcome estrangement, forgiveness may heal guilt, and joy will conquer despair." Like, that's the purpose. Like, it's not just so that I'm happy all the days of my life, but it's a sign. If you're a Christian, then the purpose of marriage and the beauty of it is wrapped up in the purpose, is it's a sign to a broken and sinful world. So that's like, Rick is so good at reframing, but that is a radical reorientation. Like, it's not just so that I can get the latest stuff from Crate and Barrel, which that's really great when you do get those kinds of things, right? But it has something that's so much, it has a purpose that's so much nobler than that. There's a way that God works something kind of amazing. And so that's, when I think of the beauty, I think of that. Like, something gets to be put on display in your lives that I think the world misses out on. If Seth and Abby weren't married, the world would miss out on that unique manifestation of who they are, right? And if you and I weren't married, I think the same thing, Brian and them weren't married, then they would miss out. The world misses out on things when, because it's a sign. It's always meant to be a sign to the world. Beauty, do you have something on that?
Yes, I do. But it's a mystery that I'm still, I don't fully understand. And it is early in our marriage, I remember a moment where I thought, I really love this girl, but I also never felt more of an individual. There's something so strange that the closer that I got to her, the more of an individual that I felt. And I think there's sometimes a kind of fear that you just lose yourself. And I think it does happen. I think it happens in marriages where you just kind of lose yourself in the other. But I believe that you are complete in Christ by your own dang self. But there's something amazing that the closer we get to each other, I feel like God is making me more of who I am than ever before. Than 17 years ago, I'm becoming more of who I am. And how that should happen, I don't know. But I love that. I love that. And it's something that you don't get right away. I think the further you go together, the more you realize, I didn't know this was in me. I didn't know that this was who I am. And, part of that differentiation is God making us one. So somehow, see, I don't even know how to finish that. There's differentiation, but there's also oneness. Yeah. How that works, you gotta let me know.
But you do. I think you do go through that stage. Like, you guys know, anytime you start dating somebody, you're just like, oh my gosh, they do. There's this way they laugh that's just amazing. And you're like, it's ha-ha. How's that amazing? And for anybody old school, do you remember, Coming to America, the original Coming to America, where he, at the very beginning, he meets the woman that he's been, it's such a great Eddie Murphy film, if you've not seen it, it's The Arranged Marriage, and he, pulls her out because, she and all her people come in this wild, elaborate costume dance, and he's like, I want to know my bride, so he pulls her into this side room, and he tells her, I really want to know who you are. I know our parents have met, and they want us to get married, but I want to know who you are. For example, what do you like? And she's all, whatever you like. And he's like, well, and he asks her these series of questions, and every single time she defers to him, and he says something like, well, bark like a dog. And she's like, ruff, ruff, ruff. And he's like, bark like a big dog, because he has all this power over her. And it's this funny scene in a vintage comedy classic, but there is a way that we sometimes can lose ourselves into a marriage. Like, we can sort of, I'm now connected to this person. Some of that's natural, but you don't want a lot of that, right? At some point, you've got to be the person who God made you. So Let's say Elijah's coming home from work and he perishes in a fiery car crash, God forbid, right? Like, I still am here. And my life, I'm not trying. We do have good life insurance. No, I'm just kidding. We're all like, ding, ding, ding. But I still have to be me. I'm still here. I still have to be a person. And if all of my identity is tied up in Elijah, as amazing as he is, then I'm not doing what, like, God made me for a purpose as well. And it's sweet that we get to do stuff together, but God has called him to be a worship leader. And I'm not like standing up there with my hands on his hands, like helping him play the piano, right? And he's not on stage with me, or he's not doing spiritual formation stuff in the same way with me. I still have a life to live. And so to the extent that it's possible, there are times that you will sort of like meld together with somebody, but it's really sweet for you to know and just have this core understanding, like, this is who I am, and this is what I have to offer the world. Right? Makes sense?
Yeah. I think that's really helpful, and I love how you framed it with the mystery of, oh, we're two separate, but there's this union, and we're different, but it's actually making me more of who I am, because I think there is something in marriage, which I'm, as a single man, and I've just seen it in guys in my life as they've gotten married and talked about it, there's like, there's certain things about my wife that brings out certain parts of me that I didn't know were there, and I think that is a part of God wiring us in a certain way where there's certain parts of us that come out in marriage. Mm-hmm. And so I love how you've framed that up with the beauty. But as we think about the cost now, because it definitely costs something. And so obviously there's this purpose and this beauty in marriage that we're highlighting the gospel, we're presenting it to the lost and broken world around us as we seek to leverage our life for the sake of Jesus together. But what would it cost? What does it cost?
Well, you live with a mirror. And like a mirror on a wall that doesn't talk back to you is awesome, right? It tells you like that you look cute in your outfit. But a mirror who's like, hey, do you recognize that that your attitude doesn't, like you're one person here and another person here, or hey, you use a lot more swear words when you're angry, you know, or whatever it is, somebody who is kind of reflecting you. We always like it when somebody reflects the good parts of us back to ourselves, but it's not so fun when they reflect the hard parts of us back to ourselves. So I would say there's that cost of that. It's the cost of like breaking down your pride. It's choosing to be humbled. When you serve somebody, when you love them despite the fact that they've caused you pain, like when you feel like, he's wounded me, or he feels like she's wounded me, and you still are commanded to love and serve, like, man, that's a real kick. That's not always the funnest thing, but for crying out loud, if you were at church yesterday, like, isn't that what we're called to? Like, to humble yourself and to take up your cross and to follow, and so it's all part of marriage is one avenue. Again, deep friendships. I've got somebody I've been best friends with for nearly 30 years, and I know you have, Skylar, just such a deep friendship. Like, there are ways that people who reflect us back to ourselves, the good and the bad, there's a cost to that, but it is one incredibly worth paying.
Mm-hmm. And the cost is time. The cost is money. The cost is, you know, especially if you have kids, man, they just like bleed you dry. But I will say this, the cost is time, not in what you give of yourself, but it's also like over a long period of time. Young marriage is hot.
Yeah.
But old marriage over time is powerful, is deep. There's a beauty to that that it can't be measured. It can't be measured. And so it is a good thing to desire marriage. And the cost to you will be more than you realize, and a lot of times more than you want. But that adage that says, you know, it's not 50-50, it's two people giving 100%, 100%. And that's so true. That is so true. And sometimes I can't barely give 80 or 50 or 30, and to know that there's someone that's giving above and beyond. And this is one thing I would say about for men about women, or at least I'll say this specifically about Stacy. Whatever little bit I give up for Stacy, it comes back to me 100-fold. And I wonder if it's not like that. I wonder if it's not like that. Maybe for men, whatever you give, whatever you lay down, whatever you sacrifice, whatever you give up, I just feel like it is in the nature of women and in the nature of marriage that it just comes back more than you could ever repay. There's not a single man that doesn't say, I married above my pay grade. You know, it's like, oh, I married. But every single one will say, oh, yeah, no, I was ribbing her, but it's really true. And so it costs you in, she said, it is true. It costs you in pride. Yeah. It costs you in so many ways, but the things that you would, what's that saying? Who wouldn't gladly give up? Yeah. That Jim Elliot quote. Would you say that?
Oh, yes. Let it come up.
He is no fool, mm-hmm. who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain that which he cannot lose. Is that it? Yeah.
And he's not saying that about his wife. He's saying that about Jesus. He's saying that about mission. He's saying that about the gospel. But it's why marriage is a sign and a symbol of who God is. It's missional. God is doing something in our marriage. God is doing something in our family, in the raising up of kids, from snotty-nosed diaper kids up to big kids that give us back attitude, mm-hmm. up to, you know, like now we have to let them go and we're scared, you know, like crazy that they're gonna make bad choices, make good choices, you know, as they're closing the door. God is doing something in that because that is what he does in us, yeah?
I think so often with marriage, with almost anything in the Christian life, the thing is never the thing. And what I mean is, like, you think you want marriage, but you always get something different. Like, the thing is never the thing. Like, when we do life together at church and we have adults come through and they want community, like, they're coming and they're saying, like, this is really what I want, but it's never really the thing. Like, there's always something bigger that's at play. They just think that they want to, like, expand their social circle. And what God is, like, rubbing his hands together and, like, standing off stage, he's like, oh, I'm about to do something here, you know? And I think the thing is never the thing. And I think that's why you can't ever make marriage an idol. You can't make, you just can't. It never ends well because God's always after something. And so the thing will never be the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love what you have laid out, because I do think of the marriage vows of Ephesians 5, of like, husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church. Mm-hmm. It's like this call to imitate somebody who literally gave up their life, mm-hmm. physically. And you're embodying the gospel in a way. When you think about the gospel, though, it's about others' exaltation over myself. It's like, Jesus is, I'm going to die to myself, and I'm going to exalt others. Mm-hmm. And so, as you think about the cost, though, it always, like you said, it's better than what you actually thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And it's in the dying of myself, which is the walk with Jesus, that he's making me more like him. Mm-hmm. When I'm actually laying down my preferences, I'm becoming more like him. Mm-hmm. And the road to suffering is usually the pathway to flourishing.
Yes.
And so why wouldn't it be like that way in marriage,
right,
as we think about it in other ways of our life? But we could keep going forever. But I do want to give us some time for, obviously, if y'all have questions too. This is different. We usually don't do this, but they asked it, and I was like, it's actually a good idea. And if y'all have a question, it doesn't even have to be about just marriage. It can be about singleness and dating, as we talked about those, or if you have a question for clarity for them to hit on. Usually it's going to be a second of silence until the one person's like, I have a question, and then it usually opens
and
up.
And can I say something while they're waiting or while they're prepping those questions? I'm one of 9 kids, and I have 6 brothers. So I love hanging out with guys, right? I just, when it comes to movies, give me any of the Fast and Furious franchises, the Marvel franchise, like, that is me, right? If you are a girl who wants to get married but isn't married, right, get you some really good guy friends. Like, no strings attached guy friends. Not like, I'm going to be your friend and try to reel you in on the side. When I met Elijah, I had probably 6 amazing guy friends who ended up handing me off to him. And that was one of the coolest things, because, like, there was just a natural order. Like, they were some of my dearest friends. I had a lot of great girlfriends as well. But just enjoy, I think sometimes the temptation is to, like, draw these really strange boundaries. And guys, I think sometimes you can get scared thinking, like, I'm not trying to, like, date all the girls, you know, in college life. I just want to have some friends. And if you are legit honest about, like, I'm just friends, like, let's just be friends, there's something so healthy in that. Like, you should have a ton of people that you're hanging out with. Like, guys should be hanging out with guys, and they should be hanging out with girls. Girls, like, I love standing in the back praying over you guys. I've seen some of you guys at College Life. Zach, is that you back there? Yeah. There are just some incredible guys in here that I've seen their character. And I don't know the girls as well, but I would imagine that you guys have really amazing character too. But there should just be, like, these really, and I don't know if you do it, but real, like, low stakes, just hanging out. Because I was really shaped by the friends at seminary, the guys at seminary that I had the chance to hang out with. And I think they, in some ways, prepared me for him. Awesome. And, yeah, I think in some ways, like, just kind of learning how to do relationship with grown folks.
That. I think that
yeah.
is helpful, because mm-hmm. We draw these distinct lines, especially in the Christian culture of, like,
it's a weird
how far is too far? How many friends can I have? Is it scary if I have a guy friend? And we're like, oh, it's like, you need those.
It's just normalize community. It. Yeah. Normalize it. Yeah.
But we are going to open up for questions if you have any. If you don't, we're not going to be mad about it. But we love for y'all to be honest and ask any question about any of the topics we've covered so far in Tinder. So the floor is y'all's. And we'll repeat the question so everybody can hear it, if not.
Are you guys saying you might have?
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's seasons of marriage that are, like, particularly hard? Like, is it really hard when you first, or really hard when you move, or, like, have children? Are there, like, seasons that are typically hard for everyone? I know it's
different. I'm thinking of...
Oh, yeah. No. I had to get a approval first.
No, it can be hard in the beginning. It can be hard at the 7-year itch. It can be hard at the 10-year, 15. It can be hard anytime. I'm sorry to break. We've got some friends that it's just like from the beginning. Actually, they were counseled not to get married, and they
in
still
seminary.
Got,
like the seminary professors were like, you know what? We don't see this ending well. And they were like, we're gonna do it anyway.
Yeah.
And it was 15. They got married. Just a couple of months after us, it was 15 years of hell. And if they were sitting here, they would say it was 15 years of hell.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, from the beginning, they're like, well, how come you don't love me like Christ loved the church? You know, like dropping script, like beating each
bringing
other with scripture.
Scripture.
It's like, oh boy.
That's probably not a healthy way. Not a healthy conflict.
Like, if you weaponize scripture, that's not a great thing.
Oh, God. Literally a sword coming on your heart.
So I think seasons of change. For us, right? So when I took this job at Fellowship, Lige was a worship leader at our church. So the question was, do we stay at 2 different churches and minister? Or does one... And he's like, no, I'm coming to Fellowship. But that put our family in a season, like, of change, of really hard change, right? If we're just so honest about it. And so this has been a season, like, have we clung together? Mm-hmm. But sometimes he's up till 11 o'clock at night, you know, preparing for the next day, and then he's up at 4 o'clock the next morning. And that's different than these seasons where it's like, we have every evening free at home to drink wine and watch the sunset, right? So sometimes there are just seasons that make things a little harder. It can be if you have a child who's sick, or if you've got a friendship or a parent who's sick or anything like that. You just always have to watch things when you're turning the corner into a new season. It's such a funny thing, but I love how Joyce Myers, is that her name? It says, like, yes, new level, new devil. And it's a funny thing, but it sticks in your head. But anytime you go to a new level, like, things that were really easy and that you took for granted, like, you're all, oh, I'm having to learn something new in a new season. Most of the situation hasn't changed, but you just have to. Mm-hmm. So I think all bets are off. You'll feel like you're in, like, cruise control, and then you'll hit a wall. But if you keep your heart really soft, as best you're able, what's brittle and hard is usually what breaks. Mm-hmm. But if you always just try to keep a soft heart before the Lord, then He always gives you the capacity to weather storms. Like, it's not, when you stand before your folks on your wedding day, you make these vows that you're like, how can you possibly, how could any of us live up to them? But the unseen agent is always the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And like the Holy Spirit standing there, and it's like, mm-hmm, yeah, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, until, like, he's nodding along with you. Like, you're saying the hardest thing on the best day. And then the worst day comes, and the Holy Spirit kicks in, and he's like, I got you. I got this. Like, you said it, I heard it, and we can do it, you know? And so that's a good question, though. Thank you.
That is a great question. We can't know. You know, you're going to come to a place in life as an individual where it's a hard season, and that's hard. And then you come to a season where it's hard for two people or one person, and you wonder, can we do this? And you can. It's double the pleasure, but it's also double the trouble. Yeah. But it is still. I wouldn't want to have gone through the things that we went through. Like, but I wouldn't want to have done those by myself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next question.
If anybody.
Did you guys hear that? Any kind of common tips or tricks? You know, he talked about when we shared about bringing things to the light. Are there other things like that that just kind of took on? I think that has been the number one thing in our marriage, has been just keeping things in the light. If you can just, and we don't hide stuff from each other because of that. We have friends who are still finding out things. Now, you'll always be learning things about your spouse because you're a frontier, right? Like, and you're a frontier, and you're a frontier, and all of us, like, you could know somebody for 10,000 years and still be finding out that they don't like English peas, you know, or whatever it is. And so that is part of it. But we, before we even started dating, we just, like, drug all our rubbish out, like, hey, here, like, I don't want you hearing from this old ex-girlfriend, like, I did it, it was a bad mistake, but it's there, right? But we did things like, there were just no surprises, and I think that was really good, and you just knew that, I knew that Elijah was never going to shy back, and so always being able to talk about anything, like, okay, I know this is going to be hard for me to say. Like, I sometimes would have to say things like that. And just keep saying the next word. I know this is going to be hard for me to say, but when this happens, it makes me feel this way, right? And that was a vulnerability that I had. And there was a way that Lige was really tender with that. Like, all right, we can work with that. And if you're able just to do that, to continue talking. When we were both on ministry staff, we had Fridays off every week. And we spent every Friday together. And that was a really sweet season because there was just, you had the chance to talk. You had the chance to, mm-hmm. to know one another. What would you say?
I do think that as you mature, you realize you need different things, and so I'm 48, and I didn't know that I needed to work out with guys, and so I do F3, and that has been a great gift from the Lord for me. I have a friend that went through the Pure Desire just for sexual integrity and purity, and that I needed to do that. And then, you know, at some point in my life, I needed to meet with a counselor kind of on a semi-regular basis. And so as we progress in the life, you need different things. Yeah. And so I wish there were tips and tricks because the reality is you, the things that you learn, you usually learn from failure. And the best lessons that really stick with you are because it came out of a season of hardship.
I like that, knowing that you, giving yourself freedom to change too. And then knowing that you have different stuff. I remember when we first got married, one of my mentors said, like, okay, now you make sure you get up and you have your quiet time, and Elijah will need to have his quiet time. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, we'll just like hold laced fingers and drink pumpkin spice lattes and like read the word together. And she's like, I'm going to encourage you to do it separately. Now we do pray together. We don't drink pumpkin spice lattes and like lace fingers like every single morning. We don't do that, right? Because I still have to cultivate what's in me to cultivate, and he's got to cultivate. And so for him to say like, I love walking the dog with you at the park, but I need to go do burpees with the guys. I'm like, peace out. Like, go do burpees, you know? So it's good just to be honest. Practice it right now though. Like, practice it with your friends. Like, practice talking about hard things. Like, hey, if everybody's going in one direction and you don't want to do that, like, go the opposite direction. Practice being differentiated. Do not wait until you're married or in a relationship to practice that. Practice being like a kick butt communicator, saying hard things. Like, if your temptation is to sort of be withdrawn from hard things, find a friend who doesn't flinch when you tell them hard things. Like somebody who you could say like, hey, I really struggle with this, or this happened in my life and I've never told anybody about it. And that person who does not even blink, who's like, and? When you find that kind of person, like, just keep sharing. God doesn't just download every single thing that you need. Like, you've got to practice the things right now. And then if you don't get married, or you choose like, yeah, marriage isn't for me, I've got my passport and I'm always have a bag ready to go, then you're an amazing friend, and the people that you room with in youth hostels overseas will really appreciate you because you know how to communicate well, right? So, yeah.
I thought we had time for one more question, but we do not. I'm going to pray for us real quick, and then we'll transition. But Father, we thank you for this time, Jesus, that we could just sit and hear about a topic that's probably on a lot of our minds. And one that only people who have been in it can really speak about it in some ways. And so, Father, we just pray that your Spirit would use what has been shared by the two fowls and work with great power in us. And Jesus, I just pray, we sang the song that, we sing the lyrics, I don't want anything else but you. And Lord, and even in the room, there's probably people who can't sing that honestly. And even in the midst of singing a song they may not even believe fully, they can still sing it as a prayer. And so, God, we just pray, Jesus, that you met us in this place, that you moved with great power in us, and that you are continuing to form us more deeply into your image. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do y'all want to give it up real quickly for the Tefals? They're awesome.